Let's pray together, okay? Now, Father, already this morning you have filled this place with praise and worship, O God. And we have been graciously invited in by you time and time again to do so. Lord, there are many places that we could be this morning, but we are here. And as we are, I pray, O God, that we would bring everything that makes who we are in place here, offering it up to you, O God, that you might touch us, that you might fill us. Lord, as we take the elements today, O God, fill our hearts with gratitude, regardless of where we are today in our thinking and what we may have even experienced this morning and throughout the week and the month, oh God. Lord, we pray that you would enable us to lay this aside so that we can take in your presence as we take the elements together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you're doing in this place. And Lord, we are just glad to be here today and to be a part of this family. Oh God, our prayer at this time, this season, and with our entire lives is that you have your way with us, oh God. For only you are worthy. Take our lives, they belong to you. In Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Before we take this morning, I don't know how you feel about yourself right now, but let me tell you that there's someone who has great love and compassion and who holds you close and dear to his heart. Let's take a note out of his page today to remember how much he loves us and how it was displayed in the very thing that we are doing right now. There's no greater love than that which comes from a God who would literally lay down his life for us. With that, let us remember that on that night, he too gathered with his friends. And he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take it, all of you, and eat." And when the meal was done, he took the cup again. And he brought it to their attention. And he said, "This is the cup of my covenant, my blood poured out for you and for the forgiveness of sins. Let's each of it take it and drink." And let's continue to celebrate him.
Emmanuel. Emmanuel, his name is God. Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us, his name is God. Name is called Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel.
You may be seated.
Thank you, Pastor Nick. Thank you, Janet. Before we get to the service, our regular service, I should say, I want to make a presentation this morning. This week, I had the pleasure of meeting Gail, and Gail was from the Pilot International, and she came in to present us with a plaque, and it's a certificate of awarded to our church. And appreciation is in our part in the community in doing a food pantry. And after speaking with Gail and meeting her for the first time along with Linda, I looked at this plaque and I know I'll probably get in trouble for this later on, but I'm going to risk it anyway. It had somebody's face on it, my heart and my mind. And that was the face of my dear sister, Marianne Mauritius. And this morning, Marianne, I want to present this to you on behalf of the Pilot International, but on behalf of myself as the pastor of this church and for the people, for your diligent outreach and continual giving to people. I have to tell you, and again, I know that you can get on me when we're alone. Yes, and you know what? We should applaud. Yeah. God has placed us in this community, and He's placed us here for a purpose and a reason. And what Marianne does, quietly does, unselfishly does, week after week after week. And by the way, I want to thank every one of you who I am not aware of that helps Marianne. Yeah, I don't want to forget to do that because this is also to be shared with them as well. Your outreach to people and letting them know that they can come to a place and get food when they have none. To, more importantly, receive hope when they're in a hopeless state. This is what the church is about. This is why we're here. And going forward, in everything that we do, in our visions and our thoughts about this church, should be about how we can somehow reach people and show them the love of God. Just show it to them. Just by little things that make tremendous impact. Handing someone food may seem like a small thing, but to that person, it can be so huge and make such a big difference. Let us continue to be faithful in doing the things that God has called us to do, and let us be aware and be praying for God to make aware to us other ways that we can reach our community. Marianne, we appreciate you. I can't thank you enough for your example to me in service. You encourage me. And you encourage our church as a people. God bless you.
I like stockings on the fireplace, the snow that's on the ground. The hustle and the bustle, the crazy of the crowd. I love feeling like a kid again. Gingerbread and peppermints, all the magic in the air this time of year. All the lights can't compare to how bright your love lights up the world. The gift you are to me. Help me remember as December rushes through. Lord, remind me when I forget the truth. Christmas is all about you. I like gathering up the family, making our new memories. The cookies and the caroling, old movies on TV. I love sitting here with my kids the same way that my parents did, telling them what Christmas really is. All the lights can't compare to how bright your love lights up the world. All the presents from the tree are as perfect and priceless as the gift you are to me. Help me remember as December rushes through. Starry night, Mary looking in your eyes, watching our hope come to life right there in Bethlehem.
Well, it's with great joy to actually share this Advent season for the first time with the family here in Patchogue. And so this morning, as we had done for quite a few years in Setauket at the North Shore Church, take this moment out together to light the candle of hope. Such a small word, isn't it? But I find that a lot of these small words carry great impact. And this morning, as we take the time out to light this candle, it may appear that it's only a small flame and a small light that it casts, but it's not small at all, and it's far-reaching. As we acknowledged Marianne in our food pantry service to the community, that small little light casts upon our people and speaks hope to them. Someone cares. Someone's watching. There's someone I can go to. Someone I can rely on. Someone I can turn to. Christ for us presents such a person and such a hope. And it's good to be reminded of this, not just at this time of year, but throughout the year, that we have a great hope in Him. And that hope is ever before us, just like many of the things that we saw in the video. And at times we could take it for granted or just miss it altogether. But God is there holding it out to us every day in the person of Christ. This morning I want to talk to you about experiencing a tangible hope, something that you can wrap your hands around. But before I do that, I want to ask you, and of course this is something to just mull over in your hearts for the moment. Are you disappointed with life? Your life? You feel an ache or an emptiness maybe this morning? Have you ever noticed how disappointments have a way of lingering, staying with us? I bet if I went around and talked with you later that I asked you to share a disappointment, you would have no problem with sharing a disappointment that you've had in your life. And I don't even mean it has to be something that recently happened. I'm talking about maybe something that happened many, many years ago that you just can't shake, that seems to have a grip and a hold over you and I. Have you ever been going down the road where all of a sudden a thought and a memory broke in on you and it wasn't a pleasant one? And it represented a disappointment? How is it that after all these years, it could still be present? Because disappointments have a way of lingering with us. And especially at this time of year, a time of year we are to celebrate and to experience joy and peace and love and hope, quite often we find, and others find themselves, hurting and dealing with disappointments, loss. Each of us can go there. And I want to say to you that if you are dealing with that, if you have dealt with that, there's nothing to feel bad about. You know, like, I shouldn't be feeling this way at this time of year. I'm a Christian. I have Christ. I should be rising above these things. And trust me, you will, and we will as a people. But quite often, because of who we are and how we're wired, that disappointment has a way of sticking to us and following us around. And we are not alone. For it did with the people of God in the day when Christ came. And these are a people who have a long history of knowing disappointment. I wanted you to look with me at Isaiah 9:2 this morning. And we're going to break this verse down a little after I read it to you, but it really speaks of a people who have been waiting. Not just 365 days like a child after the last Christmas, and they're just waiting for it to come back around again and looking forward to it. We're talking about a people that generation after generation were waiting. We're dealing with disappointment, you see, because God, of all people, made them a promise. He was going to send them help. He was going to send them aid. He was going to give them salvation, something that they needed as a people, as a nation, being rescued, needing to be rescued. And many, many years before Christ came, Isaiah wrote these words: "The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who will live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine." A people just like you and I. A people who have been given a promise, but that promise didn't come right away. And they walked. A people who walked, lived, and experienced darkness on a daily basis. In fact, it surrounded them. just as in many ways it surrounds us today. Put on the news and you get an immediate sense and a call to reality as life as we know it. It has its fair share of darkness. Now, to stop there would define, literally define, hopelessness. Is there any help? But thank God the prophet doesn't stop there, and he goes on. These people will see a great light. That is God's promise to us. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, not just darkness, but almost like down in the well, no light to be had kind of darkness, they will see a light shine. And that light was now coming into their world. Now, realize the context of what these people went through, generation after generation. In fact, even today, many Jews say, next year in Jerusalem. It's about expecting the Messiah to come. It's about getting help. It's about no longer living and waiting and even being disappointed, even with God. Why? Why is this taking so long, Lord? Why? Why can't you help me, lift me, and dispel this darkness that seems to come up and creep up on me? And for many of us at times, this is the time of year it comes around. Each of us have our reasons. Especially if when you have lost a loved one. Especially when you have lost a loved one at this time of year. Or maybe some of us are experiencing this holiday for the first time without a loved one. All this lends to a sense of sadness and darkness. Disappointment in the fact that I did not have that person. That person's not with me any longer. I think about my mom, who come December 10th will be 1 year that she's gone. And each of us have things like that that just seem to break upon our memories and our consciousness and cast a shadow. So there is light that needs to be had. Light to dispel that darkness. An amazing thing is that if it was pitch black in this place and it would be midnight and there were no lights, no street lights, no lights, put this candle on and immediately it cuts right through the darkness. God's hope does the same thing. No matter how dark, no matter how deep that darkness is, the loneliness, the disappointment, the longing, the aching, all the memories that come flooding back into our minds of past times that most likely were better, or so we really felt they were better, come flooding back in, a candle needs to be lit. A light needs to shine. But what does that candle represent? What does hope represent? Is it just something, a word that we say, gee, I hope, you know, I hope this or I hope that. After this morning, I hope that we'll be able to get one of our cars fixed because it has an uncanny way of not starting when it's too wet out or too windy out. Yeah. Hope is more than a wish list. Hope is a person, and that person is Christ. But what are we to do with this person? You see, because even though we have this relationship with God and we are remembering his coming, it is easy to miss out on that coming, on his presence. To let life crowd us and distract us and to let sadness and disappointment engulf us in its darkness and overwhelm us. It is so important for us to remember that this light can cut through all that. This hope can cut through all this. That God's promise for us is that we would have a living hope. Not just a phrase, not just something on the outside, but something that we can take inside. Like we took communion today. I thought about it this morning. As we take Christ into us, we are to do the same with God's presence daily. to take him in, to have that living hope in us that can rise above the things that trouble us, the things that relentlessly pursue us and try to darken our existence in our days and our moments, to rob us of such times where we can actually connect with each other, with others, and especially with God. That presence is in here. But it is possible to miss it. Look at John 1:10 with me this morning. Very familiar verse, John 1:10, and it says, He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. Is it possible for you and I to step into a day and be so crowded, so perplexed, so overwhelmed, so troubled that we might not recognize his presence for us? I believe it is possible. And this, it begs the question, what to do about this? You see, because this hope, this living hope, is not something that is wrapped with paper and bow. This living hope is not something that's slipped into an envelope and handed to one another. This is a hope that God has placed in you and I in the presence of Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that hope is something that is there at our time of need, our times of joy. Whenever we need it, God is right there at that moment, living inside of us, because he's an internal God. I thought about this week about how the people could miss the coming of Christ. What were they expecting? What were they looking for? Were they disenchanted with the wrapping? You know, how it was sent? Were they expecting him to look like someone else? To carry himself like someone else? What was it that they missed? And I think that we can get entangled with such things that cause us to forget that God is wanting to not just be among us, but in us. A God who wants to place himself deep within our hearts to be present. To take our reasons for disappointment and acknowledge them. God doesn't just poo-poo such things. He affirms, I know what you're feeling. I know what you're experiencing. I know the heartache. I know the trouble. I know the suffering. And how does he know? Because he came and he put on the same garments that you and I wear day in and day out, these bodies. And everything that could possibly be felt, he felt, and thousands of times over, to greater degrees. So he won't poo-poo our disappointment and our heartaches. He knows them. He acknowledges that, and he affirms you and I. And then he says, I can do something about that. I can make you whole. I'm here to give you a hope and a future. I am here to provide a way for you that says you are not beyond all hope. In fact, you shall not live in hopelessness. But I've come because I am the light of the world, and I've come to provide a hope for you, regardless of how bad the situation. Regardless of how lonely and sad you may feel at times, God is right there, not only besides us, but inside, saying, I understand. I understand. You are not alone. And what is God at? You see, God is aiming at making it real for us. At this time of year, making his presence real to us. Look at Colossians 1:27 with me this morning. God is in the business of making it real to all people. In fact, there is no one that is beyond his reach, and there is no one that he will ignore and turn away. He welcomes all in. One of the questions, one of the few questions I had when I came for the interview to the board was, is everybody welcomed in this place? And they all said, yes, everyone is welcome. I said, I'm good then. God is about welcoming all in. And it wasn't just for the Israelites and the Hebrews, it was also for the Gentiles. And this is what Paul pens in Colossians 1:27. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Is it possible to be giving God glory through your aches and pains? Absolutely. Through your sadness and your loss? Absolutely. Does that mean that you have to be springboarding out of bed in the morning and running to your neighbor and saying, ah, yeah, it's a great day, you know? No, not at all. It just means being in relationship with him and knowing his provision for our lives. Don't you know that that gives God glory? It's this deep hidden secret that has been made known to us, that Christ in you and I is the hope of such glory. And regardless of how bad things can get, Christ lives in us. He's made his home in us. This is more than an expression. This is a living person, the God of the universe, living in us. A hope that will carry with us. Because he has so much that he wants us to experience. So much that he wants to reveal to us. So much he wants to say to us. So much that he wants to take us into his arms and say, be assured that you are my children and I am your God. And even when you mess up around the holiday season, even if you should sin and fall short, even if you're unkind to your neighbor at this time of year because your mind is somewhere else and your heart has drifted off from me, I still love you. I still care for you, and I will not let you go. I will not let you go. He wants us to be assured of this. His goal, his desire, is for us, as we take him deeper into our beings and into our hearts and acknowledge him and become more aware of him, is that we come to know what he has to offer for us. Look at John 1:12. Let's do that together. John 1:12. You want to know what gift God has for you this Christmas? I'm not saying that this is the only gift he has for you, but I really do believe that this is a gift that all other gifts and all of life sit upon a foundation of this one gift. John 1:12. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Have that one gift, and the rest is icing. Have that one gift to know that you have a way. I have a way to become sons of a living God, to become children of God. Take that gift this year. Take the hope that comes with that, with being that person, and live it out. Be a living hope for someone else. That's what I believe ministry is about. I believe that's what the women's groups and the men's gatherings and men's breakfasts and Marianne greeting people and giving them food. One of my best interactions here was being in the office one day by myself and two young ladies coming and asking for food. And it wasn't only providing their need, but it was looking into their eyes and smiling and embracing them, not physically, but with my heart. A living hope. See, we embody that living hope, and he now has called us to do the same. Be a living hope for someone else. Yeah, but you don't understand what kind of morning I had. Yeah, I do. Probably more than you realize. Doesn't mean you cannot be a living hope to someone today. Oh, but things on my job and my week, I get it. God gets it more. But that doesn't mean you cannot be a living hope. If you only knew how this year has gone, God knows. God knows. And the living hope lives in you. And regardless of the weight that you find on your backs and your shoulders at times, God can raise that up, raise you up, lift you from that weight. Do the heavy lifting, as I'd like to say. And help you and I on our way. So I want to ask you before we go this morning, what are you hoping for this Christmas? Maybe like the opening video, we just need to stop and pause to realize how much we already have. Right? That God might open our eyes so that we might see and be grateful. But if there is something more, something in particular that you need, you know what? Tell him. Our Father so desires to lavish us with good things. His presence, his love. You see, I believe that he's the answer to all our hopes and dreams. They're all granted to us in Christ. Our Savior, a living hope. Let's pray together. Oh, Father. May our prayer be today, O God, that you, the God of hope, fill us with all joy and peace and trust and love for your Son, whose Spirit dwells richly in us. I pray, O God, that you might bring us to a place where even in our hardest and darkest times, we might overflow with this hope, because this hope lives in us. Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray as a people, as we go from this place today, that we would speak light and love to others, and that we might give praise and thanks right where we are, in the state that we are, to Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for listening.
He's my source of light that shines in my darkness. He's my source of living water that I need every day. He's my sword and my shield. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the bright morning star, my soon coming King, the risen Lord. source of light that shines in my darkness. He's my source of living water that I need every day. He's my sword and my shield. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the bright morning star, my soon coming King, the risen Lord. Praise God. Go in the love and hope that you have in Christ and become living hope to those around you this week. God bless you. Have a great week. Enjoy the fellowship downstairs.